this is Jeff Steiner from Americans in France. And today I am talking with Bill Hinchberger. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am, Jeff. How are you?
I am fine. And where are you, Bill?
I'm in Paris, actually just a couple blocks outside of Paris near the Bois de Vincennes.
How is it as an American in Paris?
I've lived abroad a lot before, so it's, you know, the expat experience is not new to me. Paris and France have, you know, some of their peculiarities. I lived in Brazil for a long time, so I kind of put things on a sort of continuum between France and Brazil and the United States are the three countries that I've lived in. You know, France is I think out of all the places, kind of the most difficult to adapt to. One of the things is just getting started is there's a lot of bureaucracy. As you sort of segue, if you're coming here, if you've been here as a tourist, go through passport check and you don't really deal with officials again. If you start to live here, you have to deal with a lot of bureaucratic things, and every country does. If you want to live in a foreign country, you're going to go through visa procedures and everything else. But France is, you know, they like to say that the French invented the bureaucracy. So a lot of the hoops that you have to jump through here are, you know, sort of a little bit more involved than, say, when I was in Brazil in order to do some of the same things. And a lot of the tax, you know, once you start paying taxes here, you know, tax complying with those things are very complicated. You know, there's a lot of little complications related to living in France that maybe you don't have in a lot of other.
You set up a business?
I had a job when I first came here, and when I left that job and decided to stay here, I needed to make a living. And so I went back to running my own business, which I had already always done before, in order to, you know, sort of make that happen here and also to facilitate the visa situation. I registered what I considered a company. When I talk to French people, they say it isn't, but it's actually it's a separate entity. It's sort of a bureaucratic, legalistic entity that, you know, technically receives all the money as if it were a business and, you know, pays its own taxes and all that sort of thing.
Right. You have the separate entities as opposed to being freelance.
Well, I'm freelance, and in my view, nothing's changed. It's only really the bureaucratic thing. If you were in the United States, you wouldn't need to set up one of these entities to function. Here in France, it's kind of required. Plus, in order to get the visa, I also had to have, you know, some way. I think the French believe that everybody, that their country is the best in the world and everybody should want to live here. And, but they don't want you to take their job. So basically, if you have a way, especially if you're sort of of my background from, you know, North America, they're open to having you come here as long as you can prove that you can, you know, have money to spend or way to make a living. So I had to set up this entity also for those reasons.
What's it like playing basketball in France?
Basketball is different because unless you go out to the outskirts of town, unless you go out there, you don't really have pickup games the way you have in the States. You can't just show up to a court and start playing and, you know, say, I've got next or whatever. Basically, everything here is organized. So I had to actually join a club. It's a basketball club that actually has a professional team and then, you know, sort of smaller, you know, lower level teams. And then they also have a recreation league. It's not a league. It ends up being one of the nightly sessions. It ends up being just a pickup game. But you have to be a member to go there. You have to pay dues. You have to have a card. You can only go on a certain day. You know, that's a completely different than in the States.
It's the bureaucracy.
It is. No, I mean, it really is in a sense. And in fact, when my carte de séjour, which is the, you know, my ID card, is renewed every October, basically, and which is in the middle of the, you know, the season where everything stops here in Paris as well, even the recreation activities. So things only run from September to June. So in October, when my ID card expired and I got a new one, the old one that the basketball club had on file was expired, they sent me a letter and said I had to send them a copy of my new card. I mean, they're connected to that.
You have the wrong card.
It did expire, and I sent them a copy of my new card, which was fine, but the thing is that, you know, why would they care? I mean, you know, what difference does it make? But, you know, that's France.
What are some of the interesting things, or some of the things that you find interesting in a...
I like literature, and I like history. So there's opportunities to connect to all of those things here in Paris. If you read in English, there's the American Library, which is well-stocked with with books in English. There's the, obviously, the local public libraries, which are good. There's a literary movement that I'm interested in called Olipo. You can relate it to poetry. Poetry, except for free verse, is written according to rules. There's rhyme and, you know, rhythm and metrics and all that kind of stuff for different kinds of poetry. Well, what they've done, what they started out, and the most famous person related to this was Georges Perec. He wrote a book, an entire book without the letter E. And if you can, if anybody knows French, to write an entire book without the letter E and then have the book be about the missing, you know, a detective story about the missing letter E. So basically what they do is they create these kind of restrictions which they claim allows them to, you know, release creative energies in other ways and forces them into solutions to that the restrictions make, just like poetry would. If you have to make certain words rhyme, you have to think of a new word to say what you want to say.
And my wife had told me about that book.
It's been translated into English as The Void.
Was it easier to move to France, you think, to adapt as an expat because you had already been one?
Well, it's hard for me to compare myself to, you know, someone who hasn't done it. But I think, yes, you know, obviously having experience dealing with different cultures and dealing with different cultures, not only as a visitor, but also as a resident, you are more adaptable. I mean, Americans in general, if we tend to be adaptable, we tend to move a lot. You know, people tend to move even within the states from one state to another and everything very often. So
for somebody who wanted to live in France, would you say Paris is a good place to live?
It depends who you want and where you are in your life. I wouldn't suggest, and this may come as a surprise to some people, I wouldn't suggest Paris, just to give us brief bit of background about myself, so put it in context. I was in Brazil, married to a Brazilian woman. Unfortunately, she got cancer and passed away, and which was one of the motivating factors for me to move to France. I wasn't looking specifically to move to France, but when an opportunity for this job in Marseille came up, I took it. And then after the job kind of, you know, didn't work out, I moved to Paris. And, you know, Paris has this reputation of being this romantic city and all that kind of stuff. And I think it is, you know, if you come here with a partner, you know, if you come here on your honeymoon or something, you know, you can go to all those, you know, you can go to the bridge where everybody's got the locks there and, you know, seal your everlasting love. But it's not a great place to be single. There's not kind of the way you would have in a lot of other, or not as much as in other cities, easy ways to meet people. French people tend to get into long relationships, long-term relationships, and stick with them. So if you're coming from the outside, coming into a situation that's not quite as fluid as in some other places. And also, I found, and this is one of my pet peeves, as a single man, when I go to bars and clubs and whatever, especially on the weekends at night, often they won't let you in. Whenever I go with a group or whenever I go, especially a group with a woman, I've never had a problem.
How has it been for you learning French? Just some background. You speak Portuguese and Spanish.
I speak fluent Portuguese and really good Spanish, good enough to work in Spanish. I found French more difficult than those two languages. And part of it is related to the fact that, you know, just because of my own schedule, when I took this job and they wanted me to start really quickly, I wasn't able to study French before I came here. So that was a drawback. But I've also found that different than those two languages, when I learned Spanish and Portuguese, I could understand more than I could say. And with French, it's the opposite. I can say a lot more things than I can actually understand. I can make myself understood, and then people turn around to me and say things, and I'll just kind of shake my head and you know, wonder what's going on. You know, obviously, after a certain amount of time, I'm a lot better, but you know, I still have trouble sometimes with the comprehension side. You know, I've learned two other languages, so it's not that I don't know how to learn languages, but it's just a little bit more complicated. The way it's written is not the way you speak it. People kind of run things together. It's a lot more difficult to the comprehension side.
Have the French been helpful?
French people are, you know, you can divide them into different groups. There are lots of people who have been really helpful, not only in terms of my French, but in terms of my personal life and whatever. And then there's, you know, other people who are not. I would say, you know, when I put them on a scale between my Brazilian and, you know, American experiences, I think the French would, unfortunately, on this one, go, you know, as a group to the less helpful side in terms of being people oriented and whatever. The Brazilians are all over you, and the Americans will, you know, help you if you ask them, basically. There's a critical mass of people who are extremely nice, extremely helpful, extremely, you know, interested in lending a helping hand. So, you know, I can't really complain on that regard.
What are some of the things you like about France?
Well, one of the things I like about France is one of the things I don't like about France. And so it's interesting because France has this view looking sort of backward view. And if you say it that way, it seems pejorative. But in fact, that's why, you know, there's all these great museums. That's why, you know, there's corner bakeries everywhere that are really cool. That's why, you know, they preserve some of their slow food culinary traditions. You know, this kind of backward looking thing is probably one of the most fascinating things about France. And, you know, and then if you're going to ask me what is, you know, what are the things that you don't like, then I'll say the same thing. They're backward-looking views, which, you know, make it difficult to do work, which, you know, inspires the whole bureaucratic thing, which they, you know, invented with Napoleon and everybody, and a lot of other things, you know, of that nature. So, you know, kind of the things that I like are they're and I don't like are flip sides of the same coin in a lot of ways.
What would be your suggestions for somebody who's thinking of coming here or is here already?
Well, first thing I think is if you have the luxury of doing it, you know, to learn a language. I was called, you know, on a job where they wanted to fill the position very quickly and I wasn't able to study the language beforehand. I think if you study the language beforehand, you come out way ahead. Everything else comes sort of as a function of that. That would be my main thing. The other ones are sort of more generic, sort of, but that's also a generic one. But, you know, I think moving abroad, there's generic things like, you know, look into all the bureaucratic issues related to visas and related to bank accounts, related to, you know, all the sort of daily grind kind of things that you have to do that, you know, how do you do it? And each person's situation is different. If you're, you know, a young person just out of college, it's going to be different than for a person who's retiring. If you're coming with a job and you have an employer, that's going to be different than somebody who's coming here, maybe wanted to run their own business or be a freelancer or something. So everybody's situation is different, but that information is out there. You know, you can get information that's related to your own specific thing. So I would say learn the language and, you know, do your research.
Bill, well, it's been really good talking with you.
Good talking to you, Jeff, and I admire your work. So, you know, keep up the good work.